Okay, this Shabbos is Parshas Tzav. It also happens to be Yud Gimel Adar, which is the Yahrzeit. Amar and Hagon HaRav Moshe Feinstein Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Therefore, this week's points to ponder will focus primarily on the Torah of Rav Moshe and of his Talmidim and family members as well. The Parsha begins, Tzavas Aaron Vespanav Lemar Zos Torah Sa'ola. Command Aaron and his children about the Torah Sa'ola. So the late great Rav Ephraim Greenblatt of Memphis, who was Rav Moshe's Talmud, notes that the Torah that endures, the Torah Ha'olah that rises up, is a Torah that is Tamid, wherein, says Rav Ephraim, we create a consistent environment of learning and living Torah. If the children learn the structure of Tamidius, of being all the time, when they're young, and those who are Rachok, those who are still on their road to Judaism, learn it by watching our consistent Jewish living, then, says the Riv of Os Ephraim, it will be a source of Reach Nichoach to Hashem, and it will draw people closer. Our job, therefore, is to remember Zos Torah Sa'olah, Hi Ha'olah Amokta, Kol Halayla Ad HaBoker, it's all the time. What is the Torah Ha'olah? What is the story of the Torah Sa'olah? So both Rav Moshe and Rav Nissen Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, his number one Talmud, comment on the Torah Sa'olah, wherein even Kadashim that become Pasul, that happen to accidentally go on the Mizbeach, and Mialu Lo Yerdu, says the Gemara, and if they are brought up, they should not be taken down. So Rav Nissen Alpert comments that this is true only for things that are Psulo Bakodesh, that where the psul happens is a result of the problem in the korban itself, not for a situation of roveya v'nirva, where there's a psul in the animal itself, wherein those meats would be removed. In other words, if it was during the processing, it's allowed to go ahead and remain on the mizbeach if it happened to have been brought on the mizbeach. It won't count as a korban, but it's still allowed to be utilized. So it does not have to come off the mizbeach. For a roveya v'nirva, where the psul is in the body itself, it has to be removed. So both Rav Moshe and Rav Nissen ask the question, why is there such a difference? This is Rav Nissen, and it's just a little bit clearer in his writings than those of the Kol Rum, where Rav Moshe's ideas are brought down. Says Rav Nissen that certain averos limit us from using them as kodesh. But that means that although we can't use them to serve as a carbon for us to be mechaper, we shouldn't be merachik them, we shouldn't remove them. We don't want to push them away from experiencing Kedusha. For, as Rav Nissen says, we hope that it will inspire them to do tshuva by hitting on the Kedusha element within it. However, says Rav Nissen, there are other averos such as arayos, like roveya v'nirva, where we do push the limits. And quite frankly, those are the types of averos that require a certain degree of distancing, because the effects of the Kedusha from the Mizbeach will be minimal, and the destructive element likely to come from it bigger. Today's society, we have certain times where certain averos, which are not just averos of taiva, they're averos of describing a way of life, trying to encourage them to be bakodesh, could provide a difficulty, and for those things we are to be merachik. Then the Torah tells us, V'labash ha-kohen mi-dovad, that a kohen should change his clothes. And Rav Moshe points out that this isn't a halacha, it's a minag. Rather, and the reason why, says Rav Moshe, is that it's a question of derech eretz. And thus Rav Moshe concludes, we learn that even issues of how one's supposed to comport oneself are part of the Torah, even when they're not in the bottom line halachic demand. The Torah goes on to tell us, Zeh korban Aaron u'banav, that Aaron and his children have responsibility to bring this korban, machatzisa ba'boker u'machatzisa ba'erev, that the Kohen Gadol's korban, the Minchas Chavitim, was brought half in the morning and half at night. The question has to be raised, why does the Kohen Gadol bring his korban half in the morning and half at night? So Rav Avram Fischelis quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who notes that if we only offered the korban in the morning, it would be before we went off to work. At that point in time, we're still pure-minded and able to relate to Hashem. But we would also approach to davening saying, Ech bin yaitze zayin, that I fulfilled my obligation. and we would go off to work and deal with our world, and our focus of on Hashem thereafter would be different. Thus, the Karban Minchas Chavitim reminds us that even when we're out at work, we will return to complete the Karban, with the focus on the Karban broken into halves instead of being two separate Karbanos. We recognize that everything in the middle is also part of being in front of Hashem. Later in the parsha, we read about a concept called pigel. Pigel, to anyone who learns Gemara understands, is a situation that comes up when a Kohen has in mind to utilize the Karban outside of its regularly prescribed time. So Rav Nissen Alper points out that although in regard to Kedusha, Hashem is above time and place, but man needs to know that no matter how ascetic he strives to be, he's always bound by certain aspects of this world, namely those aspects of time and place. Rav Nissen adds that the people of Korach's time disagreed on this point as well. Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim u'besocham Hashem. And so Moshe pointed out to them that, no, you've got it wrong. Boker v'yoda Hashem. You need to know that there are boundaries and limits in life for each of us. And when we don't see it, we have chaos. So therefore, you need to know there are things that are done in the morning and there are things that are done in the evening. There are things that have to be done within certain boundaries in certain times. And when we don't recognize that, we are indeed setting ourselves up for failure. So then towards the end of the parasha, the Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to set up the Kohanim. And he's told, Kach es Aaron v'esbanav ito, take Aaron and his sons with him. And Rashi notes that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to encourage Aaron to move into his new position. You know, the Gemara Menachos notes that once upon a time, Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia stated he would have tied up and placed one who told him to become a leader in front of lions. But once already, Allah L'Gdula, once Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia had already risen to the status of Jewish leadership, if someone told him to give it up, he would pour a kumkum of Mayim Chamin, they would pour hot water on him. The late great Mashgiach of MTJ, where Moshe served as Rosh Hashiva, the Mashgiach Reb Michal Barenbaum, Zechet Tzadik Lebracha, points out the irony of the change in temperament. And says Reb Michal, this highlights a challenge of focus on Jewish leadership. On the one hand, says Reb Michal, one is not supposed to seek Jewish leadership for his own personal needs. Seeking covet is not the Jewish way. However, once a person masters Jewish leadership, he understands the real mission. It becomes so much of his being that it's almost impossible to excise and still hope to survive. And thus, says Rav Michal, one must be exceedingly careful when assuming Jewish leadership positions and make sure that he is not assuming them for his own personal benefit. Torah continues and tells us that he placed the choshen on him, and he put the urim v'tumim onto the choshen. We need to remember that the urim v'tumim was a piece of paper with the Shem Hashem. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu that fit right in between the two parts of the choshen? So the question has to be asked: why do we need to remember that the urim v'tumim would need to wait to be put in until after the choshen was attached to the ephod? Why would that be a practice to be encouraged? Wouldn't it be easier to put the Urim V'Tumim on now, because after all the Choshen was attached? So Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I'm sorry, Rav David Feinstein, Le'ibad Alachayim Tovim Aruchim, you should forgive me, Rav David points out that the Choshen represented fairness in monetary issues. It was connected to the Ephod, which symbolized service to Hashem. True justice only exists when we're under Hashem's will and under His divine guidance. So once the Choshen was attached to the Ephod, it was able to function properly, and only then could the Urim V'Tumim be attached. Finally, the Shabbos is also Shabbos Parsha Zachor, and in regard to that, we read in the Haftorah about Shaul's attempt to eradicate Amalek. And when he failed his attempt, he makes the declaration to Shmuel HaNavi that Chatasi LaHashem Hashem VeLecha, that I sinned to Hashem and to you. Question was, he was supposed to listen to Hashem, so what difference does it make whether he violated the words of the Navi? Aren't the words of the Navi also the words of Hashem? What's to be gained by the double language? Maran Rav Shechter Shalita notes that there were two commands over here. the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, which included Agag, and also the destruction of the animals. Destroying Agag was a mitzvah. It was came straight from Hashem. And so not doing it was an affront to Hashem. But not following orders about the animals was Shmuel's nevuah. It was a harashah. The lack of listening to that was considered an affront to the Nabi. We have to understand that in life we have responsibilities midaraisa, we have responsibilities to listen to the words of a Navi. But listening to the words of a Navi are usually in the context of a harasha. The words of Hashem are immutable indeed. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, and just like in those days, ha'isa'ora v'simcha v'sasom v'kar, kein tiyalano.